Okay, 6:30. Let's power up the Radio City Legends, but let's try not to use the new generator at Anfield's brand new stadium, because last night saw a few problems on that power front. I don't think that'll come up on the show tonight, but a bit of emergency lighting got used once or twice last night.
Wasn't it?
A bit bad, yeah. But at least the game went ahead.
Yep.
I think if you were in the cop or the Kenny Dalglish stand or maybe the Anfield Road, you wouldn't have noticed, but there was a little bit of chaos going on in the main stand. So we could talk about Champions League stuff, of course, with Aldo. He's here tonight. Sharpie as well, primed to talk about the trip to Manchester United at the weekend for Everton. So Manchester United away, will it be a different result than we've seen in the past? Welcome along, guys. Are we well? Are you all right?
Yeah, fine.
And of course, big news as well on the Everton front with details of the public consultation on the stadium coming out. So all of a sudden we have a little bit of a timeline there, Sharpie, don't we?
Well, there is, and listen, people are asking me and saying why they do it. Well, they just explained the process that they need to go through, that needs to go to the public consultation, inquiry. People know about it, know everything about it. You know, there was funding issues. They've explained that. Mm. So I think it was only a case of coming out and telling supporters exactly where they are. Of course, there'll be conspiracy theorists about here saying, oh, they're doing this and it's not going to be ready. They can't give us a date. They're not telling us who's investing. This is just the first stage. You know, and I think they've come out and they've been open and they said that they will keep them in touch as it goes on. But this first phase is very important. They need to get everything right so when it does go to planning, they get it passed, you know, because what they don't want to do is get it called in and then it goes on for another 6 months and whatever. The Tottenham thing went on and on and on. So they need to make sure that everything they get together now to put in front of the people is right and it's done properly, and hopefully it's passed and then they can kick on. But listen, there's all different things as well. Brexit will have an effect as well, and the prices of steel and everything else. So listen, it's the first stage and it's now out in the open, and I think there's websites that ask frequently asked questions or whatever. So this was the first step, and which is hopefully going to be successful road.
We're going to get a timeline off our mate David Downey in about 10 minutes' time.
Goodness.
Don't groan. Oh. David's coming on.
Is he?
From the Blue Room EFC.
What, are we
yeah?
struggling for callers?
No, he just wants to talk about what's going to happen with the stadium.
Oh,
maybe
no.
We can get a finishing date off him.
Doom and gloom.
He
Here
knows
we go.
His stuff, does Dave Downey?
Does he? Since when? Since he's left here?
Oh, no, he's listening now thinking, why have I agreed to come back on that show? John, reflections on last night. So, 4-0, comfortable.
Yeah.
All three of the front men scoring.
Yeah.
Does that make a point? I'll tell you what, we'll start with Mo Salah, because what he's done there and getting to 50 goals in 68 games?
Amazing.
Is truly remarkable, isn't it?
It is, you know, it's a record. Obviously, it'll stand. I think that could stand for some time, to be quite honest. It's been remarkable what he's done last year. You know, taking him a little bit more time this season. Hopefully, you know, we've seen signs last night, you know, from him and, you know, the other two players who done a little bit better. It wasn't a la last season.
No. Firmino's still not sparking, is he?
No. Before he got the goal, he was really poor, you know, Bobby. You know, and then he got the goal and he did a little bit better. His movement was good. You know, and Mane again, he's just at times, you know. But you could see, you know, spasmodically, it was good at times, you know, and there was potential shown, you know, for getting back to what we were doing last year, which we have to if we're going to strive to win things or get to where we want to get. But it's good to see the three of them score. You know, Manny scored an easier chance than what, when he missed the penalty, he should have, the rebound, I don't know what he's trying, he just blasted. But anyway, clean sheet, you know, the goalie had nothing to do good at the back. Fabinho, I thought, was excellent midfield. Mm-hmm. You know, what he had to do. The one thing they did, they did a few naughty tattles going, you know, from them right throughout the game, and we had to stand up to them. You know, they tried to put themselves about us, and Fabinho and Wijnaldum in particular really done well. You know, they won the tattles, they were in amongst them, and when we played in a couple of weeks' time, we're going to have to match them for that to win the game and not be intimidated by them, because that's what they'll try to do along with the crowd on the pitch as well. But last night we were far too good for them. Far too good. Missed penalty. Two or three sitters missed. So, but all in all, really good result. And the other result was good for us as well.
Wasn't it just? Mo looked a bit devastated. You go off having scored two, and he didn't look happy going off anyway, yeah, and then you get another penalty.
Yeah, but that might not have happened, might it?
Yeah, when I saw that Klopp's friend was a referee, I knew he would get a couple of penalties. He was a German. As soon as he came up with German, I thought, here we go. And you have to say, the first penalty, do us a favour.
No, do you know what I think of the first penalty? I'll tell you why I thought it was a penalty. Because when I looked at it the first time, I thought, what's he done there? Because normally when you come close to him, you put your arm in his chest, don't you, Sharpie? Yeah. But when you put it in someone's larynx or face, it's a silly foul. It is a foul, it's high. That's why I thought the referee got that one right, because it was a little bit dangerous. So it was high. He's an idiot, the player. If he puts it along his chest and just shuffles the ball out, there's not a problem, there's no foul. But he went too high with his elbow. I thought that was penalty.
He hurt the player as well, didn't he, the way he went down. And
Sharpie's not having your explanation there, by the way, are you?
He's got a terrible bruise. I've seen it this morning, Manny.
What was your reading of it?
I thought it was soft. I honestly do. And I'm not just saying, I can see what John's saying as well, but even there, I don't think he's swung his elbow in. I just put his hand out. It happens. An overreaction from the player. I don't know, he went down, but I thought it was a harsh penalty. I do.
To be fair, this
but Liverpool deserved to win. It was always going to be the case.
They did go down like that, to be fair. Sharpie's right, man, he went down. But it was a stupid arm. It was a stupid arm, you know. The second penalty, I didn't see nothing, no replays on that.
I don't think anyone knew what it was.
He was an idiot. No. He looked like, again, what's he doing? I said, what's he doing? So his arm went up. But it didn't make no difference. We missed that one anyway. But
I knew it was going to be Liverpool's night when I was driving home about 4 o'clock, half four. And the fact that there was two of their supporters walking through the Wallasey Tunnel going a different way to the ground.
Two of the Red Star Belgrade supporters.
I'm thinking, hold on a minute. They don't even know where they're going. The team was a little bit like that. They were hopeless. But Liverpool battered them, as you expect.
Just to get back to that stat about Mo Salah, I found it now. So 50 goals in 65 appearances. It's decent, this, isn't it, Sharpie? And he's beaten a record set by Albert Stubbins, who did it in 77 appearances. Oh. Roger Hunt did it in 79. Who else have we got? George Allen in 81 appearances. Fernando Torres took 84. It's impressive, isn't it?
What about our man?
How many did you do it in?
I haven't got a clue. I thought you'd go to tell me.
You're not on the list. Jed Ray, the Liverpool statistician, has put this on the Liverpool website.
I think I'm up there, you know.
There you go.
Oxby.
Yeah, no.
Half century in the fewest number of games in LFC history.
Maybe not. No? I thought it was...
So what's the last one, Torres?
So the list is Salah, Stubbins, Hunt, Allen, Parkinson, Raybould, and Torres. Fowler. I think Rushy was 20.
Was
so
he?
I think... 85. So I think he obviously Mo Salah's got 65 appearances. I think Rushy was 85 appearances.
I'm going to question Jed on that one. You know?
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to question him.
I'll text him in the break.
Yeah. Text him in the break and just tell him to have a little look, because I'm not too sure. I'd like to know where it was. Yes. Sharpie.
He'll be opening those rusty books, having a little look at your name.
No, I did see someone went with Suarez in there. Suarez not in there, no?
No, maybe he was a slower starter.
When you look at...
I remember the first season, Suarez missed loads of chances, didn't he?
Yeah, but you look at John. Yeah. Look, John, Rushy, Robbie... Suarez, and not to be in that list. Good list.
Stubbins. Right. Albert Stubbins, my dad's favourite player, along with Billy Little.
Was he?
Yeah, he loved him.
Albert Stubbins.
So he told me anyway.
Right, we'll get some of the callers now. It's the Radio City Legends. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, whatever you want to talk about. 0151 472 0967. We're starting on the red side of things after that Champions League success last night. So let's have a word with our first caller, Dave. Evening, Dave.
Evening, gents.
Hello, Dave.
I've got a couple of points, really. First point, it's been a humble pie for me. Like, I'll be honest, last season, I was one of the biggest critics of Gini Wijnaldum. I actually used to think he offered absolutely nothing, especially away from home. I used to think he was if the ball away too much, I used to think he could get brushed off by any player. But I have to be honest, this season, for me, Gini will be one of the first names on the team sheet. I think he's been absolutely brilliant, and I'm prepared to admit I was wrong in that respect. Last season, I think I was right, but I think this season, he's definitely upped his game.
I think you're right, Dave. I thought last year, you know, Gini was a little bit disappointing. You'd expect more goals, especially away from home, but it's not his forte. You know, and when you're playing midfield and he's got a bit of a licence to get in the box, and we know he can do it, we've seen him do it. You know, he's got the ability. But for whatever reason this year, perhaps because... There's so many players vying for positions in midfield. You know, it's brought an extra edge to his game. But probably he's been our most consistent player this season, you know, along with Van Dijk. But I think you're right, Dave. I think he's been tremendous.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it is he should need someone to come in to push him. He should be, like, aiming himself, shouldn't he, as a player? To himself, I need to be better as a player and sort of thing. But I think this season, I'll be honest, like I said, he has been the most consistent. And I'll admit I'm wrong in this respect. This season, for me, Genie, as we pick up midfield three, Genie has to be one of them for me.
Who would your other two be, Dave, then?
I would probably... it's a bit easy. He can be a bit knee-jerk after last night, but obviously Fabinho, if that was the way he would play every game, he would have to be the sitter for me. Him, Milner and Wijnaldum. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have Henderson playing. I think he slows everything down.
See, the problem is, you know, you're looking at them players. Fabinho, he can do both roles, but he can sit or go forward. You're looking at Wijnaldum, he's more of a sitter for me, as is Milner nowadays, and Henderson. You need someone to break that mould up in the three, you know, and obviously Keita's is injured, but, you know, Shaqiri, can I call him Shaqiri? I've called him that many times. You need someone who's going to link with the front three. And to be fair, the last couple of games, he's done super. You know, he's had a couple of assists, nearly scored himself, and in the games he's done really well, both as having to sit slightly when he has to, just in a position where the manager wants him to be a nuisance, basically, as a defender, because he can't really defend, but track back. But when he gets the ball to open things up, he's got the ingenuity, because, you know, he can peel a banana with his left foot, couldn't he? You know, he's just brilliant with it. So
if he played someone like Manchester United away, or
he can go strong, can't you?
Would you still be playing him then, or would you be thinking to yourself I need to be a bit more solid and maybe pull him?
Good point. What would you do?
Dave, should be worried about going to Old Trafford anyway at this moment in time, should you?
Sharp is not, are you, lad?
No, but I use Manchester United. I'm thinking back when they were at the top all the time. Exactly. But I think sometimes it depends who you play. If you're playing a team where you're going to have a lot of the ball, you probably would play Shaqiri, but then if you're going to play a team where you might have to defend a bit more, you might consider playing someone a bit more in there who would be able to maybe not be as attack-minded. Obviously, you would still get forward, but obviously would probably think about going back as well.
Yeah, fair comment. You know, especially at Anfield, you'd have to play Shaqiri or Keita or someone who's going to join up with the front three. You know, when you're playing your cities and your top teams and the derbies, you might look at it, you know, different. Yeah. He can go strong now. He's got like Henderson, Fabinho, Milner and Wijnaldum. You know, he could go three of them four if he wants to, you know. Then he's got the license for Keita and Shaqiri when you need to maybe get forward at a later stage in the game. But it's what the manager thinks, what's best. It's getting the balance, because I don't think the balance has been exceptionally good this season. With the front three, you know, we're all pointing at them and they haven't hit form, we know that. But sometimes I think the link-up play from midfield to them has not been great, as good as it has been last year. But maybe the balance is just not there at the moment. But last night was better. It was a lot better.
You can't win, though, John, sometimes, because last season they threw it at us. Liverpool only play well when they went. Liverpool only win when they play well. And all of a sudden they still aren't playing very well. And people are going, oh, we're not playing very well, are we, at the moment?
Do you know what, though? We can only win when we're not playing well this year, though. We haven't hardly played well, have we?
So when we do play well, who's going to be the one who gets it?
Absolutely. Now, that's what we're waiting for, isn't it? Hopefully that happens on Saturday and Neil Warnock's mob.
Dave, top points. Did you have something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say, just quickly, I just saw how good Joe Gomez has been. I don't want to see Lovren coming in and disturbing that partnership. I understand, obviously, maybe you have to give Trent a rest at some point, but I feel that our centre-back partnership has to be Gomez and Van Dijk. I'm just at thought that yesterday in that second half when that ball went across, I was like, it's like Gomez, it's like someone was playing Mario Kart and giving him a mushroom up his backside. And all of a sudden, he just got this turn of pace from out of nowhere.
But he's very good, he's very quick, you know. He's very, from his childhood days, we knew about that, you know. But if you put out to all the Liverpool fans now, you know, for percentage-wise, I think 99.9% people would say the same. They've forged a really good relationship, them two lads in the centre back positions. Lovren came in and he's done well his two games. Just a one lapse of concentration nearly cost us a Huddersfield when he got it nicked. But he's done well. But Gomez, for me, the best pairing is Gomez and Van Dijk. With you, Dave, and I think lots of Liverpool supporters, if not all, would go along with that, you know.
Dave, thank you very much indeed.
No problem. Cheers, mate.
Good to talk with you. You're spot on. He looks sensational, Joe Gomez. His speed is phenomenal.
Well,
a couple of times last night, he read the game and he got to positions he had no right to get to.
But he's like a mini Van Dijk, a young Van Dijk in many ways. He plays very similar to Van Dijk in many ways. Not as strong in the air, I have to say, but not bad. Not bad in the air. I'm not like, you know, criticising in any way or form, but the way he's going about it, he'll learn so much off him for future reference, Joe. But big players, if he can stay away from them little injuries that he's had, or big injuries on a couple of occasions, then he's going to be some player.
He'll be all right. Right, I haven't got John's stats, but I've got, who have we got here? Luis Suarez. So it took Luis Suarez 91 games to 50 goals.
Oh, no, I've done more than that.
Kenny Dalglish, 99 games. Oh. Robbie Fowler, 94.
Wow.
Ian Rush, 87. Fernando Torres 84 and Roger Hunt 79. So what do you think? I have texted our mate Jed. I haven't got a response yet. What do you reckon you're on?
He's not listening to the show.
Probably not. He's still confident. Do you think you're in three figures, aren't you?
Yeah, I think. I've got 63 and 104. So you're going. Right. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know.
Don't need to worry. He's got in 10 consecutive games, didn't he, or something? Right, 7:15. Mm. It's Radio City and Radio City Talk. It's the Radio City Legends. 7:10. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp in the studio. I'm Steve Hothersall. We were debating how quickly it took Aldo to get to 50 goals, 50 Liverpool goals. We should say this is in all competitions. Mm. So I text our man, Jed Ray, who's the top statistician, and he sent me the full list here. And the good news is you are in the top 10, John.
Oh, that's all right then.
Is that fine? Does that mean you looked a bit uncomfortable, didn't he, Sharp?
He wasn't happy.
I'm
no,
happy. It's my beloved Liverpool Football Club, you know what I mean? So I'm happy with that, thank you.
Right, so Jed says...
Can we trust this Jed fella?
Can you?
Yeah.
He'd be punching the radio at this point.
I said it.
Although 87, okay. 87 games, you are joint seventh quickest, along with... Oh, with Rushy.
With Rushy, why did you only go up to six on there then?
Why have they left Rushy? Why have they left you?
See, top six.
What? You're supposed to look after their own, aren't they? Yeah.
What?
You're supposed to look after... You went to top six and left me and Rushy out. That's
who did?
You did, yeah.
I didn't have the full list.
You knew full well they went
I've only just got the list now.
You took three joints in, they went in the top six.
What I want to know is why did the Liverpool website put Rushy did it in 87, but they didn't put... Aldo did it in 87. Well, when you go back in the club, you need to have words.
You remind me tomorrow because I'm going right on.
Oh, Daniel Sturridge, 87.
Oh, okay.
Triple. Three of you. You're all in esteemed company with each other.
50 goals in 87 games.
Yeah. Michael Owen, 93 games. Robbie Fowler, according to this, 94. Dalglish, 102. Ooh. Anyway, Aldo, joint seventh. Thank you very much, Jed. He knows his stuff anyway.
Joint seventh, joint sixth, make your mind up.
No, you're seventh now. I moved you to the seventh. You'll be eighth if you don't shut up. How long did it take you, Sharpie?
I don't know.
Don't know? Don't care. Dixie Dean must be the record holder, mustn't
he? Dixie was ridiculous, all right, wasn't it? The amount of goals that he scored.
Right, let's talk to a guy who's never scored 50 goals in his entire life, which is Dave Downey.
Never got a paint in his life either.
let's welcome him to the Radio City Legends. Evening, David.
Evening, bullies. You're
welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Dave, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, sorry I missed
your
call earlier, by the way.
That's all right. I don't expect nothing else. You're always ignoring me. It's all right, pal.
CEO of the Blue Room EFC, many of you will know. We thought we'd get him on to talk about the timeline for a brand new stadium and, of course, look ahead to Manchester United. You put something on your social media about when you think fans could be walking into a brand new Everton stadium. Go on, David. What do you think it is?
Well, I mean, a lot of people were frustrated in equal measure as they were happy with last night, sort of breaking news, Steve, and I think that I'm somebody who's been overly cynical in the past of ground moves and things like that because simply they haven't happened. But I think here with the club for the very first time have outlined a timeline that, yeah, okay, it's rough, but something that they need to aspire to keep the momentum going and finally get us to play football apparently more. And the way I sort of imagined it, just from the information that we got given, is that I think that the planning application will go in they expect. Of course, there's loads of hurdles still behind the scenes as well, but all being good and well, that'll happen towards the back end of 2019. And then hopefully construction will start around about mid-2020, pending that planning application being approved. So we know, I think, it's the worst kept secret, that it's going to take us 3 years to build the ground. And it's no mean feat, is it, when you think that, you know, it's basically underwater now, and that dock needs filling in. So, you know, there was a lot of frustration that sort of we got when we revealed the news last night. But, you know, how many people, how many Evertonians out there, Steve, know the ins and outs of building a mega structure that's going to be, you know, the highlight or one of the highlights of the city? Nobody knows the ins and outs of it apart from the people who are involved. So, you know,
it's all guesswork at the moment. But if you got for 2023, would you be happy?
No, but listen, Dave's right, because this first stage is the most important. They have to have every base covered. Yeah. So when they go for that planning application, it goes through. Because it'll be opposition to it. You know, people would look at the UNESCO World Heritage site and all that kind of thing. If you go down there now and you look at it, it's a piece of derelict land. But because it's this UNESCO Heritage thing, people think that, oh, we can't touch that. So there's a lot of things that, Dave, you know yourself, there's a lot of things that have to, bridges to be crossed. But what they have to do now is get everything in place so that when they put that planning application in, they can't get knocked back.
Yeah.
And that's what takes so long.
Well, I think that, you know, I personally now, you know, you can throw all sorts of dates up in the air, but I don't really care as long as it happens.
Yeah.
You know, if it takes 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, you know, as long as there's nothing silly and we're all still around to see it, you know, within reason, just as long as it's built, because it's much needed. You know, that's that. You know, you know, we've been trying for years to sort of look at an alternative to Goodison. And, you know, as long as it's built, as long as there's full momentum, which I think the club would say themselves, you know, they're new to all of this. They've never reached this stage before.
No.
So, you know, there's a lot of consultation. And the main sort of bugbear many had was the consultation. We've already had one of them. But this goes out to everybody on Merseyside.
Yeah.
This isn't just Evertonians.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage everybody, obviously listening to the legends as well, get out and have your say on it, whatever your say might be. Get out, because I think the club needs as many voices as possible to be able to rectify whatever issues people might have and then move forward to the next thing.
Yeah, because it's not all going to be positive, is it?
No, but the only thing is that people get carried away and go down the wrong tracks. And I hear people saying, oh, it's going to cost the council this and it's going to cost the normal taxpayer this. Go in, do your homework, look at the website, see what's been said. And when you look at a bigger picture, it ain't going to cost the taxpayers any more money.
Yeah.
It's not the way it's going to be funded and everything else. It's going to be positive for the city, the jobs, everything else. And I think people seem to think about it as, wow, why should we give the money to Everton, blah, 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 and it's going to affect. That's nothing to do with it. Listen, this is the first stage, and as you quite rightly said, Dave, they need to go down, look at all the details and ask questions, whatever, and then come to a conclusion. I just think there'll be, right away, there'll be doubters that say, I'm not voting for this. But the bigger picture, and I'm not just saying this as an Evertonian, but the bigger picture is a bigger picture, not just for Everton, but for the region as well, and for everything it brings to the region.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to see where it goes forward. There are dates and times for the public consultation on the Everton website. They include the likes of the Blue Base on Sollop Street, Liverpool Shopping Park on Edge Lane. It comes to Liverpool One on the 19th of November. It goes to Birkenhead. And it also goes to New Brighton, Fort Perch Rock. So over 3 weeks, you've got your chance to have your say. Right, let's look ahead to the weekend's action. Everton go to Manchester United. Have you changed any thoughts about it, Sharpie? Or are you confident at this stage?
Having watched them the other night, they were poor. First half especially. Juventus were good. But listen, they've got problems here. Listen, can Everton go there at the weekend? They like to think that they'll give it more of a go than they have done in recent years. I think the fans are going there with a smile on their face. The football they're seeing is better. It's improved than what they've seen. Listen, still a big ask. People talking about how United aren't the team they are. Still at Old Trafford, it's a hard task. But the interesting thing, I look at it, and Dave will back me up on this. I hate hearing the fact that Lukaku hasn't scored for 8 games. Because you can guarantee and put your money on it, that's going to happen. So I think we will need to score on Sunday.
Because he's guaranteed one goal.
Yeah, yeah. That's my thought, Steve.
No, I agree, Sharpie. We know it's with a kiss of death when it comes to stuff like that. And I've seen so many people, friends, text me, you know, videos about bad Lukaku's been. And I'm like, you know, you really should have learned over the years that it's always the way. Going into games like this, it comes back to bite us on the backside. But
yeah.
I think for the first time in a long time, Sharpie, we go there. I mean, I know we won there in 2013 with the Martinez, but I think we go there with the first time. You know, what I'm loving at the minute, the fact we're getting shots on goal. You know, we're trying to attack all the time, and I just wonder how far Silva pushes the boat out against United, because this is the first acid test, isn't it? It started flipping the gear in the last three games, and do we go there and, for instance, start the same lineup that we did against Crystal Palace and have like that four up front who are really fluid in attack? We've done some work in Palace, you know, nullified us quite well.
Yeah,
but I'm looking at this one and thinking, does he put Andre Gomez in to be the person who could transition the defence to attack, or do you bring in a workman like Tom Davis, because they'll probably try and have you know, a matter to a rear in the midfield? I think it's a really interesting tactical battle for Marco Silva.
What would you do, Dave?
I'd give Gomez 60. I don't think he's fully match fit yet. And that'd be with an eye of a Schneider and or Davis coming on in his place. And you know, a lot of people, as they always do, it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction, were saying that they'd like to see Luchman come in for Walcott. I'm not necessarily sure he's ready for that yet. I prefer to see him as an impact player. I think Tosin might come back in.
Yeah.
And we see Bernard go to the bench and then Richarlison back at his natural left side.
Yeah, I tend to think that as well. I think Walcott, I think, was disappointing at the weekend, but I think in the wide open spaces at Old Trafford, I think his pace could be vital. He'd be up against Shaw, who's done okay, but I still think the Walcott can cause him problems. So it'll be an interesting one, but I want to see Gomez play. I think he should start for me.
David, what a delight to talk with you. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, lads.
See you soon. See you, Dave. All the best, mate.
A bit unusual not to see a smiling face through the window.
I never saw that here, did he?
No, he never smiled, did he?
just about Man United, I think there's a huge banana skin ready to drop on them in a game. You know, it's okay getting beat by Juventus, and Juventus by far the better side. The way Man United, they weren't up at them, they weren't at them, they weren't in the faces. It was just so easy for Juventus, and they were good Juventus. But I just think that something's going to happen to Man United in a game, you know, that the fans are not going to like, and it could happen quick, and it could happen against Everton. Hopefully.
So you're predicting bad things for them?
I think it might be Everton, but along the way, I think there's a big bad result going to come for Mourinho somewhere along the way.
Look at his face. Right, before we get to Tony, who's our next caller, I can confirm, John, the official confirmation. I'm moving you from 7th to 6th in the league table.
Top six,
so John demanded to know fewest league games to 50 goals, so league games for Liverpool. And on this chart, you are 6th.
Okay.
It's topped by Fernando Torres, who took 72. Wow. Sam Raybould got 80 games to 50 goals. Albert Stubbins, 80. Mm-hmm. Roger Hunt, 80. Jack Parkinson, 82. And there's John Aldridge, 83. You beat Rushy. You beat Rushy.
Rushy, Robbie.
Rushy, 84. Suarez, 86. Fowler, 88.
Is that on the official Liverpool website?
No, this is our official statistician, Jed.
Tell Jed to make sure he tells Liverpool FC. I want mine on.
Do you want this on the back page of the papers tomorrow?
Tell Jed to get onto LFC that they've not got me down on.
You'll be getting a seat named after you.
Yes, in the toilet.
But actually, if Mo works hard, you could drop to 7th, couldn't you, anyway? Let's take our next caller. It's Tony, who wants to talk Liverpool. Evening, Tony.
All right, John.
Tony.
All right.
Yeah, just think, looking on last night's game, the front three starting to come back a little bit, clicking a little bit, John. I know we're only playing a bit of a rubbish side, really, but there were signs there that they're coming back. I mean, all season for me, we haven't played that well. The only game I sticks out was the PSG game. The other games, we haven't been outstanding in any of the games. And to be joint top and not playing well, John, it's a good sign, isn't it?
It's a good sign, but it's not in many ways, because you want to see signs of you know, the togetherness and the way we played last year, you know, the right from the back to the front, and so fluid. And we've yet to see them, you know. I think, you know, the Paris game was probably the nearest we got to it. You know, we've got joint top of the table without playing well. People will say that's great, but you want to see, some indication along the way in some games where we've tongued teams last year away from home, like fours and fives and sixes and what have you. You know, we seem far, far away from that at this moment in time. And I think, as I said before, if you want to vie for the league, because City are, you know, it's going to be really tough to beat them. You've got to have the front three firing. And you want to try and win the league. Of course you have while it's at stake. And we need them to, as I said, you know, many times the last few weeks, to come to the table. Last night, was there were signs there last night, even though it was a little bit bitty at times again. It was signs that, you know, it was better last night, you know. Do you think yourself?
Yeah, there was gloom stage on. I just think Shaqiri and Sturridge, you know, they had the chance last season, so this field, they never grabbed it with both hands. They never give a manager the decision there to put one of them in front of them. For me, they're just not good enough.
I thought Shaqiri
look at City squad.
I thought Shaqiri done well against Huddersfield. I thought Daniel Sturridge, from what I've seen this year, when he's come on as sub, he's done really well in all the games. When he started, not so well, you know. So maybe, you know, he's going to be used more so as an impact player. There will be certain games that he starts, obviously, but when he's come on as sub, he's looked really good, to be fair. Shaqiri, I can't fault him. I can't fault him when he's played. I think he just gives us a little bit different, you know, from midfield to the front three that we haven't got.
Yeah, definitely with the Oxford, you know, I think he's a good replacement for him, really, coming off the bench. But, like, if one of them front three were out for, he's got a dragged injury going out for 6 months or something, I don't think there's anyone there that are going to carry the can the way City could, you know.
Yep.
City got, like, that Jesus and Silver and all sorts sitting on the bench there. Mm. And it's disheartening because we've got a good chance of winning the league, but City is so strong.
Yeah.
It's going to be really difficult to get past them, in my opinion. I think winning the Champions League, our best chance of a good trophy this season.
Possibly. But you're all right, you know, going up front, you know, Daniel Sturridge is scoring goals, you know, and which he'd be a really good squad player for us right throughout the season. Shaqiri's probably going to do better a little bit coming from midfield. He will be playing wide positions. Origi, you know, he was sub last night. I don't know how, to be fair. And Solanke, he's gone down the pecking order. So you're all right where that is, because the backup, we went to Man City when they got Jesus coming off the bench and, you know, and Sané and then these players. That's probably where we're at. Now, we've got a great squad, but maybe if we can't get over that line, they're the type of player you need one or two of them players to match Manchester City. Mm. You know, then them type of players.
But Tony, good stuff.
We'll see anyway. We'll see.
Mm. Thank you very much, pal. Good to talk with you. That's Tony. You want to join in the show? 0151 4720 967. 4720 967. 7 minutes past seven. Radio City Legends. Do our quiz pens in just a moment. Before we get there, we're just re-watching the video of Inter Milan's Marcelo Brozovic, who found a novel way to block Luis Suarez taking a free kick in the Champions League. So Inter against Barcelona, and the boys have been watching it, and it's something that you've never seen in a match before, have you, of your life? So what Brozovic does is he knows that Suarez is going to try and hit it low and underneath the wall, because the wall are going to jump. So he runs in from the side and slides along the floor like he's just going to block it right across his body, and the ball
just
hits his body.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Super clever, isn't it?
Yeah. Brilliant.
He'll now set a trend, won't he? Because all be doing it.
Someone's going to come unstuck doing
well,
that.
Somebody's
though,
not
going to
go over. Not really, somebody's not going to go under it. The wall, are they? And somebody's going to look a fool. Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing that for?
Yeah.
As the ball nestles in the top corner.
It could be calamity, couldn't it? But have you not seen it? Have a look online.
But
it's
what
very
you're doing,
good.
Really, you're covering. If they all jump up, no, they're covering the height and below as well. So they're actually making the wall about, well, best part of 6.5-7 foot, aren't they? It's clever, you know. It could come and stuck it, you know, a little bit, but
because it's become something of a fashion to kick the ball under the wall, hasn't it? Coutinho did it a couple of times, didn't he? And the best players can do it. But Brozovic may be sparking something new, right? Lads, let's do pens.
6-2,
4-2, isn't it?
6-2.
Official adjudicator Christian, confirms it's 6. John, you can cheat, but you can't cheat that well. Right,
I'm gonna go for number three.
Ding, 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 ding. At number three, it's a true or false question.
Oh, chance.
Silly mid on is a fielding position in cricket.
Yeah.
Silly mid on.
Of course.
Think carefully. Is a fielding position in cricket, and you think it is?
Of course, it is true. Yeah. I've been there.
You've been there. You're cricketing a job?
Absolutely true. Lovely first
touch, right footy volley. Brilliant goal by Graham Shaw. First blood to the Blues down at the Anfield Road end.
Yeah, it was a goal for John, not Sharpie. Correct. Sharpie, where are you going to go?
Five.
Number five. Who is this mystery voice? Oh, here we go again. This is a good one. Right, just a second of it. Who's this mystery voice?
First half was good enough.
Oh, you're good at them.
Dead easy.
Bailing me.
Full names, please.
Yeah.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
David Bellamy.
David Bellamy.
He is something hot at them. Unbelievable, Sharpie. Well done. Mm-hmm.
Very good, aren't you? Quite reactive. He's right, go on, John.
Four.
Number four. It's an Everton question. What club did Everton centre-back Kurt Zouma start his career at? This is a horror of a question. What club did Kurt Zouma
before he
start
went to Chelsea,
his
wasn't
career
he?
At? Should we give him something of a clue?
No.
What? I'm gonna have a guess. What's it called?
Go on. What's it called?
PSV.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
Was it?
Do you know?
I thought it was Holland team.
No, it's Saint Etienne.
I would never get that.
Okay, Sharpie.
I'll go six.
Number six. What Premier League goalkeeper has made the fewest saves this season? Which Premier League goalkeeper making the fewest saves this season?
Is the fewest save means he's conceded the most goals that he's been?
Well, maybe it means that he's just not very good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The fewest saves. I would have to say.
Which Premier League goalkeeper?
I would say Liverpool's Alisson.
You think it's Alisson?
It's a good shout there.
Why? What is going through his head? No. What is going through his head?
It's one of that Huddersfield Town team that you can't name. It's Jonas Lössl. 16 saves he's made this season.
That's a few saves.
Defence is not that bad.
There you go.
How many goals have you conceded?
Two penalties scored each. One scored each. Two wrong. Two missed. John, where are you going?
Two.
Number two. Right, it's a music question.
You're good at these.
You'll get this. Famous last words. Right, John, listen carefully. What do you have to do here? I'm just trying to read the instructions. Please name the song.
Oh, come on.
Right, so you know the artist, don't you? Yeah. So please name the song.
I didn't hear that. I'll give you eyes of blue.
Come on, you know that, don't you? Do you not even know the artist? Do you want me to replay it for you one more time? I don't definitely one of your favourites.
Hold a minute. I'll give you eyes of blue.
Right, let's get the timer going. Come on, John, who do you think that is? Work hard.
I can't get his name out.
Can you not?
Yeah, no, I know he's a foreigner, isn't he?
No. Why, who did you think
he's
it was?
He's gone.
He's not from Liverpool.
David Bowie.
It's David Bowie.
Oh, dear me. Oh. One of the biggest Bowie fans, isn't it?
I knew you loved him.
Oh, no.
Do you know the song or not?
Of course I do. I've got all the albums, haven't I?
Well, what's the song then?
I forget. I'll get my eyes of blue, yeah.
It was China Girl by David Bowie. Girl. Right, Sharpie, you can wrap it up.
I don't deserve to win.
Is it one that's left? Yeah.
Number one, yeah. Yeah. Sadio Mane has scored 4 Premier League goals this season. What clubs has he scored them against? So 4 Premier League goals. Which clubs has he scored them against?
Chelsea.
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
Name two, don't name four.
There's only 3, actually, not 4. West Ham, he scored 2 against Crystal Palace and Leicester. Cool. There you go. It all goes down to the tie break. Here you go, boys. Sudden death penalty shootout. Gareth Barry holds the record for the Premier League performances. So holds the record for Premier League performances. How many games has he played in the Premier League? Gareth Barry, how many games has he played in the Premier League? Sharpie, you're first
league
up
games,
to take your penalty.
Games, yeah.
Yeah, Premier League games.
500 and... 83.
583 you go with. John Aldridge, does he go higher or lower for the win?
I've got to go slightly think hard. Lower. Slightly
you,
lower.
You're going slightly lower, are you? Lower, think, yeah. And today's winner is... Can you go lower on that? John, you're an utter numpty. 653?
No, I thought it was slightly lower. Oh! I'm getting beat on this frigging tie break. Four ties should be. It should be 5-4 for me.
It's like you're taking penalties from the 6-yard box and you're still missing. That's what's happening at the moment with you.
I'm having a nightmare.
All right. Yeah, you are. 20 past seven. Let's get another caller in. Radio City Legends, Graham Sharp, John Aldridge. Let's talk Everton next up. And we're going to connect with Jim. Hello, Jim. Jim, have we got you?
Yeah, I tell you, Aldo needs one of those German referees there. And a bit
I think Celtic need one at the moment.
Don't you start. I've just been watching it. I've just hit the post there. It could be about four.
Oh,
anyway,
right,
that's not what I've come on to you on about. We'll talk about that another day. Leave that out. Just about the Blues the weekend. Penalty I thought was a bit weak. I was very impressed with Lookman when he came on. I think that the kid has got something there.
Yeah.
That little bit of spark as he came on. I see some great shoots. I can see some good things going on there. And watching Big Tolson, he was like Andy Gray running away there for a bit. I don't know if you've seen the similarities. But
oh, I don't know about Andy Gray. Andy Gray wasn't that quick.
Well, he was quick over a yard, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, true, yeah.
But no, I was very, very impressed. I think there's some good stuff. I thought the manager called it right, went for it. Last year, we could have lost that game quite
easily.
Quite easily. And it's like they're rolling the sleeve up. And the big thing that I like about it, there's a lot of them smiling, they're enjoying what they're doing. And why wouldn't they? And that's a huge, big thing, you know.
Jim, you're spot on. I think the atmosphere around the place is totally different. We know what we had to endure in the last 18 months, 2 years or whatever. But I think now the new lads they've brought in as well are good lads who have mixed really, really well. And I think when you go up to training ground, the atmosphere is good, you know, and you see, and I think that's relaying itself on the pitch. I think you're right about Lookman. You know, everybody knows he's got ability. It's now about him now taking opportunities to cement his place in the squad week in, week out. But I think what you've got now is you've got competition for places, you know, and I think looking at it all and the boy Tosin coming in and scoring a very good goal, you're spot on. But even looking now, the boy Mina back to fitness, what does he do there? So he's now got options. And options not only from a defensive point of view, but from an attacking point of view, at least, as I think it was David came on, at least they're going to go to Old Trafford and have a go. At least they went to Arsenal and have a go. That's something the Evertonians haven't seen. You know, at least they're smiling faces. You know, three games in a row, they've won. A few smiles on the faces now. Last year, for the last 2 years, have been really tough being an Evertonian. At least they're seeing something now which is putting a smile on their face. Listen, it may well change at Old Trafford, we don't know, but at least we're going there with a little bit more hope than we have done in recent years.
Oh, I totally agree, Graham. But again, it's getting down to the attitude. It's what inspires it. You know, they say Silver, he looks a little bit dour in one thing and another, but he stands there and you can see his head working without actually seeing it.
Yeah.
And he's moving it across because they change formation in the game about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Find different things, probing. And I love the width. I actually think Bernardo, he didn't have a great game there. But he's got a trick or two there.
Yeah.
And we're going to need that in these little tight games. I thought the penalty was, well, I don't know. It's one of them. You either get them or you don't. And but, you know, Pickford there gets his thing up. He isn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you can see why he's infectionist. You know what I mean? You know. He's one of your pals that you go out there. If there's a gang of you, he's one of the ones that get left. You get shot of him pretty quick. You know what I mean? You have no chance. You know, but I mean that in a nice way.
Yeah,
you know?
Jim, I think the penalty save was really important. It was a difficult time in the game. You know, it goes in. It could easily have changed the game, the outcome of the game. But I think it was a good save from Jordan. It just lifted everybody, the crowd and everything else, got behind. And as I said, it's looking better. Still a long way to go. But I think when you think about it, I'm just looking at the league table now. And what Everton have got, they've lost 2 games. That's all they've lost in 9.
Oh, absolutely.
And just over the last few weeks, and especially, you know, after a couple of draws and result Arsenal, people coming on in question. All I said was, give the guy time. Give the guy time. You know, 9 games in, he's lost 2. He probably should have won the game at Wolves and at Bournemouth. But listen, it's early days. It's going to take time. But what we've seen so far is a breath of fresh air to what we've witnessed over the last 2 years.
Jim, we've got to close the doors on the show. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again in the future. Are Everton going to win at Old Trafford?
I don't see why not.
Good man.
Is it worth a go? You go and have a go. You leave nothing in the dressing room. Leave it on the pitch and everybody goes away.
Nice one. Thank you very much indeed. Before we close the show, just a quick one. Some news out this afternoon. Liverpool earned more money from last season's Champions League than any other Premier League club. Jurgen Klopp's team, of course, beaten by Real Madrid in the final, received, well, the team didn't receive it, the club received £71.86 million for that Champions League run.
Surprised Manchester City didn't earn more from somewhere.
Right? 71.86 million. Real Madrid earned slightly less. I think it was 74 million. But it's good cash, isn't it?
Yeah,
and of course, it helps the transfer kitty as well. So yeah, that's what a good run
absolutely,
in the Champions League can do.
Hopefully, it happens again.
Boys, win for Liverpool at the weekend.
I think so. 3 o'clock kickoff, actually, Sharpie, first time for it.
Right.
I'm going for five.
For Everton?
Get a result,
Everton. I think Everton may get a result, yeah. Positive, 2-1.
Sharpie, Aldo, thank you very much indeed. Radio City Legends back on Monday. I'll be back tomorrow morning on Radio City Talk.